Hello, guys. Welcome to the Ibs Mouse podcast. I'm your host, Blake, and your co-host, Carr, cannot be here today as he has scheduling issues, but we do miss him. And in lieu of that, we do have a very special guest today, me and Carr's good friend, Brady. Tell us a little about yourself, Brady.
Well, I'm Brady. I am 18 years old, and I do Elvis impersonations. It's one of my things.
What else do you have going on, man?
Well, I'm in choir. YHS choir.
That's where we met you, actually.
Yes, actually. Yeah. And I don't know. I watch ice hockey. I'm an ice hockey fan. If we're getting into hobbies and stuff, but yeah.
But Elvis impersonations.
Yes.
Tell us about that, man.
Well, that started when I was about 7 years old. And
who? Quiet, man.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Like, I'm sitting right beside you, and it sounds like you're shouting.
I'm still learning.
Yeah, this is the first time he's really been on a podcast, guys. Oh, so yeah. if it's a little too loud, a little too quiet, give him a little mind and don't be too harsh on
it. If I'm yelling at you, I'm just note that I'm just an insane person. Anyways, Elvis. That started when I was about 7 years old. And golly, I think first off, you know, I'd been a fan of Elvis because my grandparents got me into that stuff. You know, they grew up in the 50s. So it was almost always playing at their house. And my dad was in the army. Mm-hmm. And then my mom had a teaching job, so I would always be over at grandma and grandpa's, and Elvis would be playing.
But how'd you get into the impersonating part? Did your parents or grandparents be like, he looks like Elvis, let's him, get him in a suit, throw him out there, and hopefully he doesn't die on the toilet like the real one?
Oh, God, I love it. Well, that just started because I had like one of those Party Galaxy Elvis jumpsuits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you know, I knew Hound Dog. That was the one song that I knew.
Everybody knows that song.
Oh yeah. No. And then golly, I want to say about 2 years after I started getting into it, I was about seven, we heard an ad on the radio for this show at the state fair called the Elvis Extravaganza. It was like this whole contest thing. And so, you know, mom was driving and ended up calling dad and saying, hey, why don't we register him for this? You know, get him up. All you have to do is like, you just pay $50 and you get to do a show with a live band.
That's all, just $50?
Yeah, like,
no training, no nothing?
Well, you have to know Elvis.
Elvis, but were there like rehearsals or?
They rehearsed me a little before that.
A little bit, like the day of. You got 15 minutes before the guests started coming in and you got to go.
Well, actually, it's kind of funny you mentioned that because initially we weren't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ended up saying, oh, I don't know.
You were seven years old or something, and like, your kid is like, oh, it sounds great when my parents say it, but now that I think about actually doing it, I don't like this very much.
Well, I just ended up, I don't know. I don't know why I wanted to say no, but I'm glad that what happened next happened. Because like the night before, and this is actually kind of funny, we get a call from an out-of-state number asking to speak with a then seven-year-old Brady. Naturally, my dad picked up the phone and had a bit of a stern voice and said,
what?
this is his dad. What do you want? And he said, well, I guess the file, because, you know, my dad was typing it in,
mm-hmm.
the file, and it said, like, list the three Elvis songs. And I knew Hound Dog. I was seven. So we X out. It autosaved. So he ended up calling us. Mm-hmm. And it was the night before, and so dad said, well, you know, he's seven and he only knows one song. He said, you know what? Bring him out. Bring him on out if you guys want to kick him.
He's seven. Do it. It'll be great.
And I did.
But like the reason I thought to bring you on for the Elvis thing is because I came over to your house with Daisy and Jay, and the poster on your garage wall,
yes,
that you said you were too young to be hanging around women like that, which is overly true. And guys, just to explain there, he is on a little Elvis poster of him and two grown women in, not grown, teenage girls, isn't it? They look, yes, teenage. Like,
sort of. I don't.
Like, okay. 16, 17-year-old teenage girls. And he's like, he looks, he is seven or around that age. And
like,
they're
probably
in the,
9 or 10.
Yeah. You, and if anybody knows the, like, line dancer, like, stuff like that, they are dressed in that. And it's like the flamingo, like, feathery type that they have, like, in the old, like, 80s.
Las Vegas showgirl.
The
stuff.
Las Vegas showgirl, like, type of stuff. Not from the 80s, but from, I forgot what time era that originally came from. But
yeah.
That's why I thought I'd bring it up, because it's an interesting thing. But keep on talking, man. Like, how did that go? You traveled around? What places did you go to, and how were the traveling parts of that?
Let's see here. Well, I did. I've been everywhere. I've been to Branson several times, all over Oklahoma. Dallas, over on the East Coast, I did a show in Rhode Island. I've done Los Angeles a few times, Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I even got to go do it in Canada, which was awesome. I went to Toronto.
You never did it in Vegas?
Oh, well, I did. Yeah. I mean, I'm an Elvis. You gotta go
there.
Oh, yeah,
man. You gotta, like, I was asking that because you never mentioned Vegas. Like, you mentioned,
right,
like, stuff that looked like Vegas, but you never mentioned you did in Vegas. How was doing it in Vegas, of all places, especially as a young kid, and all this gambling, casinos, showgirls, blah, 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 all these people are around that are so grown up, and you're just, like, a young kid doing an Elvis impression on a stage?
Well, first off, that's – Las Vegas is one of my favorite places to perform because – it's just, like, nowhere else in the world is a hotel have restaurants in it. It's also a casino and a mini mall. Like, honestly, it's like a cruise ship in a hotel. And so, anyways, I just, well, that show, I did Las Vegas. And the thing is that when I started doing Elvis, you know, it all just starts out with, like, the one show. It's kind of like how a band were to get into the industry.
Like how, like, just to bring you the example of, like, the podcast, it was like we had one episode, our first quote unquote episode that actually, it was our, like, actually our third or fourth, which is the one you'll first find on our thing, which is the one you were in originally from my birthday. That one is the one that actually got traction for us and showed we have the potential if we got the right stuff.
Right.
To have a successful podcast, because it got to 30 listens and a good amount of, like, people listening to it for a good amount of time in a few weeks. So it's like that. And then, like, the first show, I mean, hey, you got to start somewhere. Just Linkin Park didn't show up in a day.
You know, that's the thing is that, like, golly, even the Beatles, greatest band ever.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well,
okay. I mean, they ain't got nothing on Queen.
Well, you see, this is why you don't say that, because I know the comment section is going to be filled with some Rolling Stones people.
We mostly use Spotify and Anchor, and it does get on iTunes, which can do reviews and all that, but it doesn't, like, allow commenting, just allow. But we do have social media. If you would like, we will, when we post about this episode, which will be a selfie of me and Brady on the post, but that you can comment all you want on how I'm saying Queen is better than the Beatles, and I will, you can quote me on that. Queen is better than the Beatles, and I will never say anything else.
Well, you can quote me on the Beatles are better than Queen. Don't hate me, don't hate me.
I'm not
going to
hate you.
Hate
I don't. It's like, I'm sitting there like, how can the Beatles be better than...
Anyways,
we're getting away from Elvis here, but continue on.
I was just saying about, it's like, it starts out with one show, and then, you know, maybe one or two posts on YouTube of me singing these songs.
Mm-hmm.
then someone says, well, he's kind of good. Can I have him perform at my birthday party or at this festival I'm organizing?
Yeah, and then
this or this and this.
And more people see you and they recommend you to more, or they want you to do more. And it's
snowball rolling down.
I was going to say it's a snowball effect. So yeah.
And honestly, I think by the time, I want to say like by the time I was 10, I was doing lots of different contest stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of like how the fair was a contest. I went and did the fair, you know, I had a 10-year run and it got shut down due to the pandemic playing that show. I was going to go do it. Actually, it would have been right about now. I would have done that fair show.
I was going to ask, like, did you stop, like, doing the Elvis stuff at a certain age, or are you still going?
Well, I'm still going, but it's kind of hard to with everything right now.
Yeah, with, like, the pandemic, and then you have me and you are both seniors in high school.
Yeah.
Me, you, and Carr are, and that's with your senior year here, it's probably hard to keep doing that. Will you be doing it after high school, or will you be trying to, like, actually settle down, find a girl or guy or whatever, and like get like a college education and like settle down and have a not normal life. Like you could go do that afterwards, but have a job and like get like stable and find stability. Are you going to continue on with Elvis, or are you going to find a mixture of it somewhere?
Well, the thing is that even though I'm still doing it, I'm not doing it at the rate I did when I was in elementary school and middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just
I was about to bring up middle school, but continue on. I'll do that in a second.
That's just, and I know what you're about to say. I'm going to kind of dance around it. So that's just because, you know, when you get to high school, the amount of absences, you can have like 2 to 3 and be exempt. So it comes down to, they're a little bit more strict on missing days. And so I just kind of wanted to be a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to continue that part of it, mm-hmm. be able to turn it all off. And I'm still doing shows, don't get me wrong. Like, actually, I have a show. I'm going to get kind of advertisey here, but I got a show this Friday, Chester's Party Barn in Piedmont, Oklahoma. So...
Don't worry. This will be published like a month from now.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
But like,
well, then I got a show in October in Piedmont at Chester's Party Barn. There we go.
Well, you got to say the date if you want to advertise it, so people can get the tickets or whatever, or show up.
Oh, crud. Okay. Then you know what? I'm just gonna leave it there.
We aren't gonna plug things here, but I actually remember seeing you do the talent show in a middle school, which is where I got interested in becoming friends with you, which I'm going to explain the same way I did to your sister or aunt. Or remember, I was over at your house with Daisy and Jay.
Yeah.
Was it your sister?
My sister-in-law was over there.
Yeah, your sister-in-law. I heard sister and I'm like, that's a sister. But I watched you do this little Elvis dance impersonation thing on the stage. I'm sitting there like, huh. He dances enough like a woman. I'll become friends with him. Because I'm non-binary, man. I'm like, I gotta find like the niche of weird people doing weird things and get there. Because you got your Elvis stuff. Carson has his Carson stuff. Carson doesn't really have a hobby. I'm just kind of dragging him along here.
He does sing.
Does sing, but he doesn't like have a thing that he does outside of school.
Well, actually,
does he?
I know he did the fair once, because I did that show and I played on the same bill as him.
Oh, so maybe he does, but like not like right now, like with the school stuff. Like I have the podcast. It's a personal project that's going on. And like, I'm kind of have Carson there and Carson, whatever there, because it's good to have like a multiple person podcast where it's not just one opinion. But he's so much like me, it's like getting one opinion and he like doesn't talk much.
Yeah.
But we'll get into good conversation, which I also, you should listen to our latest episode, which is called like the last 3 years, which goes over that one part of which goes over the choir trip in sophomore year, man, that you were on with me, you, and Carson
together.
And we mentioned roommates. We mentioned the the flashing of 2017. We don't talk about it in detail, which I'll never like I said in that episode, I'll never let you live it down. But yeah, let's just, there's that. Yeah, but continuing on with the Elvis stuff, like, how was it traveling though? Like, how was the traveling? Were you like on tour bus or were you just driving places with your family?
It was just all cars. We don't have the money for a tour bus.
No, I know, but like there are things like people will sponsor you and like let you use a tour bus like they do with some bands and stuff, which is why bands don't really buy tour buses.
Yeah.
They get like sponsored by people, but like,
I mean, typically it was just like going on a road trip. It's just the motive for going on it, you know, was going to the show, and we have like, you know, a bunch of sound equipment and Elvis costumes in the back. That's the only difference between a road trip and this.
I wonder how your like older brothers or younger or whatever how your siblings saw this. Like, your parents must have been like, oh, this is great. He's learning to do things. And
yeah,
it's fun. But your siblings must have been at least a little jealous, to be honest.
Well, it's a bit different for them because my brother is 9 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And my sister is 7. And they're
7 years older than you?
7 years older than me.
Okay, because you said 7. And I was like, you have a 7-year-old sister? But no. I'm like, wait, no, that doesn't line up. But
it's like the thing that they're also, you know, my half brother, half sister. And so
I didn't know they were half, but
yeah, they were half. Okay. And so for most of their lives, they lived with their mom because, you know, we live in Oklahoma, their mom lives in Virginia. So it's Virginia. My relation.
Sorry. okay. Continue.
Anyways, so my relationship, maybe there was a little bit of that, but they're really not into music. Mm-hmm. They're Nick is or was a sports guy. He's in the army now. But then Charissa enjoys music, but she's actually a horse instructor at a college. So yeah.
You got the cliches all in one except for you. You got the sports dude that joins the army after high school.
Yes.
And then the little girl who goes on to train horses. I like horses. I am an equestrian girl. I love My Little Pony. Like that. And then there's you. I'm Elvis.
Well, you know, there is a chance that because I'm going to be going to college. And to answer
we're all going to college. Oh, yeah. Well, Carson still hasn't figured out where he's going, but I'm going to UCO.
I don't want to excite you, but there is a chance. I will leave it at that. I don't know where I'm going for sure.
Oh, there's a chance to go to the same college as me?
Yes, there is a chance there. And I think the thing is that with Elvis, you know, again, it's really hard to do it. And I've lost
You'll have to put on like put it on a hiatus or something, but you also need to like work out and stay – not like get like buff or anything, but stay in shape to do it to where you're not like lazy and it's hard for you to move around like Elvis does.
My major is going to be commercial music. And so that's kind of, that's almost hybrid degree.
I'm majoring in accounting. So, and I'm a music education. Literally, I'm coming for Mr. C's job. That's literally it. Mr. Chapin can stay. I'm coming for Mr. C's job because you know I have a grudge against that man and I will never let it go. I complain about him so much, I will come for his job after this. Well, after I'm done accounting. Like, he retires, I'm like, yep, I'm applying. I don't care if I have a good accounting job. I don't care if it's cushy or whatever. I'm going to take his freaking job as a freaking choir teacher here where we live.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're doing
commercial music.
Commercial music.
That is, you get lessons in. Well, you know, obviously, you continue singing. I play guitar, so I'm going to continue doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, it's kind of a hybrid. It allows you to have almost business and entrepreneurship classes. So essentially, you can like become your own manager.
Mm-hmm.
You can possess the skills to perform. Or manage, or you could become your own manager.
Like, you do your own thing, and then years later, when you're old and jaded, and you find this kid who's trying to do his best, but the world is saying with him, and you make the best movie of the year by doing a comeback kid story where you're the manager and he comes and be the best songwriter there is. I don't know.
Then after that, I can sell that to Hollywood.
Yeah, you can sell the film rights or something. I didn't want to bring out the topic, but it's stuck in my head. But how much were you making on the Elvis stuff? Were you making anything, or was it your parents or family?
I was.
You don't have to say how much. You don't have to say how much.
But I was making
a good much.
Well, it's inconsistent because I would go through stretches where I'd have like 5 to 10 shows a month, and you know maybe 4 or 5 of them are paid shows. But then I'd also have maybe 1 month where I only had one show, and it was one of those contests that I have to pay to go do it.
And then if you win, you get the money or something like that. Yeah. So it's not like a consistent amount. It varies.
It's not a steady income.
Is it like usually in the hundreds for one show, or is it in the like thousands for
hundreds?
Okay. And then like it piles up with the multiple shows.
Yeah. It would be different for me if like I were in a band, because you know, that's like,
so is all that going to your college now? Because I bet your parents at least put some of that towards, have had to put some of that towards your college.
90% of that is in savings.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm hoping, because I don't want you to be like,
10% went to my back pocket.
Okay, but like, your back pocket, not your front pocket. I'm not showing anybody. It's my back pocket, because nobody needs to see what I'm making. Made my ass thick with money. But I'm,
God.
But back to traveling, like, how were the conditions of traveling? Like, were you doing your schoolwork on the road most of the time?
Because
I didn't see you much in middle school. The first time I ever saw you in middle school or ever was actually during the talent show where I decided I got to come friends with that guy.
It was.
And then I started seeing you more and more in freshman year.
Yeah.
And then going on, because you weren't, I guess you weren't doing contests all the time or whatever.
I very rarely do out-of-state shows right now. But okay. I think when I was in public school,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was there. But the difference is that I would take advantage of the 9 to 10 absence thing.
Yeah, of each semester?
Yeah.
So did you ever have to get it to where it was more than 10 absences and you had to get a court call and be like, hey, what's going on here? I'm playing Elvis, courtmaster. I mean, I'm a judge. I couldn't think of what a judge was, so I just came up with courtmaster. Sounds like something from a video game.
Technically, this is with medical issues. I don't want to make anyone jealous, but I do technically have more medical absences than most people. So
how are you gonna make someone jealous for medical absences?
I really didn't think that through.
But it's fine. But
yeah, no. Anyways,
continue on.
Yeah, it's so we would just be traveling, you know, just like do all sorts of road trips. And I guess you know my dad was in the military when I was young, so we got some. My parents used to laugh and joke that one of two places I slept in the whole world, because, you know, I was a crying baby,
mm-hmm.
one of the two places that I slept was the car seat.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, as is that with the traveling family, like,
yeah,
with the stuff you're doing. But
well, I have my niece and nephew, and they're like 5 and 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're, because my brother's in the military, so they're traveling around.
Yeah,
you know, relocating every 2 years.
That's probably why it wasn't so bad for your father to do it, and not so bad for your mom, because probably they got married before you.
Yeah,
before you came along, and they were traveling a bit, and then you came along. They had to settle down somewhere.
Yeah,
have a permanent place where they could come back to. But like,
my dad retired.
Guess with your
in
stuff
08.
Was traveling. Wow, so, it's been like 12 years, man.
Oh well, yeah,
good for him.
So. It's
your dad is not. Your dad does not look at all what I expected him to. With how you look, you're all built and all this, and he's like, you're almost as tall as him, and he's skinny, and
yeah,
he looks like a nerd.
Yeah. Well, he's almost lost like 70 pounds from when he retired in 08. So, and that's yeah. So he's
Like I saw Carson. I would expect that from Carson's dad, but Carson's dad is what I expected your dad to be. This not. I don't mean
we were
this
flipped
in,
at birth.
I don't mean this in any bad way, but like this. Large, I don't mean large in any bad way is what I'm saying here, but like this big, large guy who looks like he could one punch you through a wall. He's not, he doesn't look buff or anything. Right. He's not buff, but he's like, he's got a dad bod, but there's more. Yeah. More dad bod than
just
regular bod.
Chips.
Yeah, like too many chips and dip at like Carlitos or whatever is what I see. But yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
But continuing on, like the how were the shows going? Like, were there ever like shows that went bad or like went really well or too well? Or were there like times when you got harassed by like the women that came to see your shows?
There was one time and
oh, here we go, the good stories, folks. How old were you in this story?
In this story, I would have been 13. Almost 13.
Okay, continue.
So I was playing, this was in Memphis. And Memphis has this huge thing, because that's where Elvis himself lived.
Yeah.
And so they have a Elvis impersonation
championship or something.
They have a whole week, and they call it Elvis Week.
Yeah.
And it's like a holiday thing.
Like how we have Czech week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was there doing, I was performing this contest and I can't remember the name of it, but I get on stage and we had this beautiful new Elvis jumpsuit made just for the show.
Yeah. It was like sparkly.
It's sparkly purple.
Wait, was it the one you wore at like middle school? Like
it was one of the ones that I wore.
Yeah. Cause I remember seeing you in a purple,
yes,
sparkly,
yes,
yeah, okay, making sure I was getting that correct.
So anyways, here we are, and this jumpsuit, it was new. So I'm starting to perform, and the mic was turned down very low, because like the sound guy went to go get some beer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's the excuse he came up with.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, then after that, I'm singing and I have the mic in my right hand and I'm like doing stuff in my left hand, you know, kind of motioning, come on, clap y'all or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then I put my hand down on my side and one of the jewels on my arm gets stuck on one of the jewels on my leg.
And you just,
I'm standing there. Then I have this cape on the thing that's like clip on.
Yeah.
One of the clips falls off.
And you go, you're going to try and go get it.
So here I am trying to finish my song with my left arm glued to my left leg.
Basically.
Zero volume in my mic. One of the cape half off and literally this jumpsuit's falling apart as I'm singing. And they let me finish, but like I wasn't taking any money home for that one.
Hey man, a lot of people let Elvis finish too, and not in the way you're thinking.
Yeah, no,
that show went as great as cleaning up Elvis after he died. Probably because I was like, whenever you told me you were a little Elvis, it reminded me of this thing I saw. A parent gets called by the school, their kindergartner school teacher is like, hey, we got a little Elvis on our hands. Like, oh, is he singing? No, we found him dead on the toilet. But that's what it reminded me of. But have you ever, like, were you harassed by any of the people that came to your shows? Because I know that's a common thing for your stuff. Like, were you harassed by any of the women or guys or, well, women or worse, the men? But were you?
Yes. There was one show, one of my first shows that I played at the fair.
Like, you were like 8, 9?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, 8 or 9. It was like probably year 2, year 3, so 8 or 9.
Eight or nine at that time, okay. So.
And we're walking out of the fairgrounds and heading to the parking lot. And as we're walking out, these like four or five ladies in braless in like white tank tops were walking and asked if Mini Elvis could sign their breasts.
Wait, eight or nine year old. You must have been stoked though.
Well, Dad said no, he does not sign body parts, and we started walking faster.
Yeah, but you, in your mind, what was your thinking process of that? I want to hear that.
Gosh. I didn't really have enough time to really soak it all in what just happened. I didn't even know what breasts were. I was eight.
Yeah. And so I knew what they were by the time I was five. I had a very weird childhood.
Okay.
I don't talk about it on here because it gets really weird. I mean, I learned about sex from another kindergartner in kindergarten that then tried to practice it on me. It was weird. Never got reported,
what
whatever. It was
another girl. What kindergarten did you go to?
Clinton, Oklahoma.
Nice. Okay.
It was. Bad. But now it's like, I mean, it's okay now, but like, I don't know how the schooling's going there, but yeah. It was weird. So, looking back on it now, you probably were like, I should have done that. Like, I wish I could have done that.
No, they were 80. Oh. That's the problem. So I shouldn't have.
You didn't say what they like. You didn't say their ages or how old they were.
They were old. They were old, drunk women. And so it's just like, that was one of the things about those fair shows. That's one of those shows, and I'm not even joking, where the more beer the crowd drinks, the better the show is. Like, those people that go to those shows will arrive at the fairgrounds at noon, take turns going to the beer tent.
Mm-hmm.
The show starts at 7.
Yeah.
So they're drinking for 5 hours before it starts, and they kick you out at 10, which is when the show ends. So that's one of those ones, and it's still probably one of my favorite places to play. And even though it's a loud and obnoxious crowd, and you got this and that, it's just so much fun. The crowd just gets into it. It's like, you know, one of those feelings that, because, you know, some of these older people, I think the reason they come there is because they were Elvis fans.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is he's gone now. Yeah. So they go to those shows now, and it's like they get to watch Elvis again. And so it's kind of magical. Like, I've had some people show up. I played a nursing home once. And I'll never forget this. I'm there singing, doing my thing. Singing a few Elvis songs. And before the show, it's like, you know, all these people had Alzheimer's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, golly, some of them were just vegetables at this point. And it was something to where some of them couldn't even speak or talk to me, let alone carry on a conversation. And then I start singing, and next thing you know, they start singing along with me.
You know, all of them are singing.
Oh my gosh. It, you know, my dad is kind of my quote unquote manager and quote unquote sound guy.
Mm-hmm.
My mom like takes the photos and films the video for the publicity and stuff. And they were there and they were in tears. And it's just like, you know, that was one of those shows where even though it's such a small operation, It was one of my favorite shows.
It's,
you know?
Yeah.
Because I guess music, that's just something that's there with you forever, no matter what happens to you.
Yeah.
And
like, imagine like in the heads of those elderly, it's like they have Alzheimer's or dementia or something. They can't remember yesterday, but they can remember their teenage years or like they're at their like 40s or 50s whenever like Elvis first showed up, or if it was in their teenage years. I don't know how old they were, and I don't really know when Elvis was around, to be honest with you. But well, like, imagine them just, they think they're back there and they're watching actual Elvis. Imagine, like, just to think some of them actually thought that watching you, that must have been really powerful to like bring back a memory like that for somebody.
It's one of those moments where, you know, and sometimes it's kind of funny because there's one study that says people with Alzheimer's respond positively to jazz music. And it makes sense because that generation, that's what a lot of them grew up with, who, you know, were listening to jazz music in the 40s and 50s. And I think now it's rock and roll too, because if you do the math, people who were born in the 1930s and the 1940s. That's like their teenage years were like the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So that is, for the music that I was doing, prime demographic. That is, that is probably, they probably bought vinyl records new.
But also think about like the people like that were like your, I don't know, was your dad around for Elvis, just to ask that question?
My dad, no.
Before, like, well, think of people your grandfather's age or maybe a little later on,
yeah,
that like grew up with Elvis in their teenage years, to bring them back to their teenage years of youth and thinking, it's Friday night, I'm going out, I'm free, I have mom and dad's car, we're probably gonna wreck it, but we're there.
Just jumps in the car, goes to the hop or whatever.
The hop. The chocolate shop. Let's go.
Yes. Goes up there, meets a girl.
Starts talking. Meets a nice dame.
Like, listening to Rock Around the Clock and Heartbreak Hotel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's – it's target demographic.
I like how, like – because, like, the topic of, like, that type of era of that – I realize now, looking back at, because one of the topics me and Carr have talked about are the Riverdale, the new show, like the newest Riverdale. In the beginning of the show, they tried to bring that vibe there with the chocolate shop and how they did things and blah, blah. But then they moved so far away from it later on. It just, I really liked the first season of that because of the era it was in. Like the era it was supposedly like set in. It was a great... it's a great era to put things because it's like not too technologically advanced where we're at us. It's modern. It's like, oh, it's just another thing that happens in the world. But it's not like so far back that you disconnect from it.
Yeah. I mean, because during my formative years, obviously I watched, Barney and the Wiggles and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, the Wiggles. I actually am.
I got to perform with the Wiggles.
What? Dude, tell us about that, man. Okay. That sounds like an amazing story.
Well, so this was actually about a year ago. And
a year ago?
Yeah. So first off, like when I was when I got to performing, I grew up on the Wiggles. I watched them, I was glued to the TV because as a little kid, I would never stop crying. And the second thing that would make me stop crying was if a Wiggles record was playing. No joke.
The thing for me with stop crying was like, I didn't need like silence. I just needed like a background noise for me when I was, from what I was told when I was a baby, there could be white noise playing on the TV and it'd calm me, but I couldn't have silence for some reason. Right. I hate my little baby brain couldn't ponder the silence of my past sins from reincarnated lives or something. I don't know what was going on, but you perform with Wiggles. Go on, continue, man.
So first off, I have met these guys.
Are they the old Wiggles or the new Wiggles?
Well, these ones were the new ones, but I had met them a few times because I went to some shows and like.
Are they as good as the old ones? I have to ask because I haven't watched the new Wiggles.
I like them. You know, I think the thing is that it's certainly a lot different, but it's different for a different generation of kids.
Yeah,
and I think that's good for them is that they're really taking that in and doing a new spiel with it. But anyways, like
my whole thing with it is like you said, a new generation of kids. I always think a new generation needs new things, not rehashes of old things. Like, yes, we have like a rehash of like Teen Titans, which is Teen Titans Go, but it's so different from the other one. It could be called a new thing. Like we have a rehash of Riverdale that goes nowhere near the Archie comics of its origin.
Yeah.
But like, I had to get that out. Cause like I tried to talk to Carson about this and he just like goes, yeah. I agree. Cause he agrees with almost everything I say. Right. He's a sheep among wolves, but he's no, because of like him dating, Satan Spawn, as we call her.
Oh, she's Satan Spawn now.
Yeah, we have two Satan Spawn. Well, we only call the other one Satan Spawn whenever Eli is around.
Right.
But because of that, he has actually come out of that a little, because he has seen the person who she cheated on him with and has gotten mad for the first time I've ever seen him get mad. And it is scary to see him get mad, because he's not, it's like the calm people you don't see get, you think don't get mad or whatever, are the scariest when they're angry. He is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm gonna beat his fucking ass. And I'm sitting there like, don't do that. He's bigger than you, and you know he could clock you.
Yeah,
but no, continue on with the Wiggles thing. Sorry, we got a little off track.
I actually
really want to hear the Wiggles thing, but continue.
So I had the pleasure of meeting them a few times. The originals, and then once, like, three of them retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, a new yellow, purple, and red one. And the blue one's the only guy that's still original. And anyways, so here I am, and they had experienced kind of a decline in popularity about 2016.
Well, of course they did, because they were an old show or like that we grew up with, but it was our generation, like our type of people. And we watched them, and it was great to watch them. But these new generation kids who we didn't grow up with the iPhone. Yeah, we did later on, but like we didn't grow up as toddlers or babies with the iPhone to keep us continuously. Attention just continuously on the screen or whatever.
Yeah.
We didn't grow up with that. So the Wiggles were what we had to settle for. It wasn't just settling. We enjoyed it. But the Wiggles, the way they did it then, can't be the way they do it now if they want to continue on with ratings. Because it's like they need it to be constantly moving, constantly going. Hyperactive songs now.
Yeah. No, it's...
Which, it's a problem of the new generation. But like, it's a terrible problem. Because a thing about being human, which our generation, I think, is the last that will ever face this, is ever being alone with our thoughts and just being bored. Because I forgot who said this, but it's like, they said, I fear for this new generation because a part of being human is sometimes being alone with your thoughts and being bored, not having anything to entertain you.
And having to figure out how to
entertain yourself.
Yeah, I mean, kids, I have a 5-year-old cousin has a cell phone right now.
Like, my little sister has a phone and all this, but she still figures out...
I didn't get mine until I was 12!
I didn't get mine until I was, like, 11, but it was a flip phone. It wasn't, like, a smartphone or anything to entertain me, and I had no one to text except my parents. I wasn't going to text my parents about my problems.
Yeah.
But, continue on.
It's, I knew these guys relatively well, and so...
They had the decline in popularity in 2016, you're saying?
They did. And so they went off the road, and because I had gone to the shows, not to watch, but to meet them a few years before that. But then, they're not in America touring, so here I am, left in the dust, growing up. Anyways, 2019, this was last year, I take my little cousin to Tulsa to go see him. And they were playing, I think, at the Tulsa Event Center. And so anyways, we get to this hotel we stayed at. We're checking in. And sure enough, out of the blue.
Wiggles. You see this
one? Well, I should say out of the blue. I should emphasize that, because the blue one had, I guess they had taken the buses to the car wash and so parked them in the parking lot. He's walking in where we're taking the luggage cart back. And so he says, you know, I've watched your stuff. You want to perform?
Oh,
and I'm
dude.
Just like,
yes.
How about I do Rockabye Your Bear or something like that? That's one of theirs. And I did the slowest one I could think of because I just had a double knee operation, minor thing. And so.
Yeah. I remember hearing that, like, you were out of school for a time because of, like, you need to get your legs or something operated on.
Oh, yeah.
I remember hearing about that now that you mention it, but it was in elementary school, and I'm like, who the heck is this Brady guy?
Well, it was...
I didn't care at that point. And then I met you, and I'm like, okay.
But this was right around then, and so I get up on stage, and I'm just like one of the roadies comes, because I'm sitting in the front row with my little cousin.
The Wiggles have roadies. I'm sorry, but like, my concept of roadie is like these, is girls or guys who want to go with the band and like have sex with them every night or do something or do whatever or just be around them because they're famous. Because that's my concept of them, because that's how I've had them explained to me.
Those are the guys that, you know, do the sound and build the set.
So they're production team.
Yes.
I wouldn't say they're roadies then. Yeah. Roadies are more like people that come along with you to be around you so you can have like this entourage to make you look better.
I think that's... I think it's the production team. Yeah, it's the production team. It was this one guy that was like, he comes out and gets me in the front row, says, "You're ready to go." Takes me backstage and they give me like this little lapel microphone. I'm like wearing a blue shirt, you know, kind of like the ones that they do, you know, and I walk out on stage, I do this number. I go back and it's like instant cousin points. Instant.
Because
I performed on stage with the Wiggles. And I knew all the words from all those years watching them. And so I performed Rock Goodbye Your Bear on stage with, granted, it's the new Wiggles. You know, it's not Greg, Murray, Jeff, and Anthony. It's Anthony, Emma, Lockie, and Simon. But Lockie? Yeah. Lachlan.
Oh, I thought you said Blocky, but I'd be like, who names their kid Blocky? What the heck? But no, but like,
it's Irish.
But the Wiggles, that's freaking awesome. You performed with the Wiggles.
Oh yeah. No, it's
the best
so...
I could ever hope for would be somehow showing up on the Cold Ones podcast when I start, which I do recommend the Cold Ones podcast to you. It's on Spotify. You gotta listen to it.
There was one other kids band. Did you ever grow up watching the Imagination Movers?
Or was that past you? I was about to tell you like earlier before we brought up the Wiggles is I actually listened to the Imagination Movers like earlier today. I listened to their theme song and I'm like, man, I remember I watched their video like intro to their show and I'm like, man, I don't remember any of this, but I feel nostalgia out the ass. But dude, continue. I want to hear the story.
I used to do competitive dance. I did that for a few years, about 5 years.
Says the guy with knee problems.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you wonder why I quit.
I didn't realize you quit, but you said you used to, but
well, my mom, and again, this goes through my parents, she's like scrolling through Facebook and finds this thing that the Movers were going on a tour. And so they said, what we're going to do is we want like dancers. But the thing is, what they were doing is they wanted like kid dancers to go on stage with them. But they weren't going to take them all on tour, so it's like city by city. So my mom goes up to the owner of the dance studio and says, "Could we do this? You know, could we perform with the Imagination Movers?" And they said, "Okay, let's do it. Let's go
awesome.
Do it."
Awesome. You performed with two little kids bands.
I did.
But
and actually, I think the Movers, I think they predated the Elvis thing, the Elvis gig.
Oh, but continue on with that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was dancing with all that and like lead up to it.
So we did Wichita, we did Tulsa. Mm-hmm. Those were the two cities that we did a caravan, you know, with all the other dancers and this and stuff.
Like,
we basically
took the Imagination Movers, right?
Yeah, we basically took one of the classes I was in and put the troupe on the road.
Oh,
you know? And we're driving up, we get to the hotel in Wichita, we're taken backstage.
Talk about the goof troupe. You said the troupe on the road and I'm like, man, talk about the goof troupe, a thing of kids following adults dancing.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean,
but, yeah,
here we are, and we pull up into like the parking lot at the arena. We're in Wichita. Mover Scott comes out, says, "Hey, great to have you all here," takes us backstage. They put us in this one room. We all get ready, dressed, and we go out for like this one or two numbers. And that was basically it. But it's so cool because that's our generation.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we grew up watching. You know, golly. Those two. It's like the Doodle Bops.
I haven't thought
Bear
about the
and
Doodle
the Big Blue House.
I watch Bear in the Big Blue House once in a while. Because like I have a cousin who has it on like the entire series on Blu-ray.
It was
and,
all
like,
on
has
Playhouse
digital,
Disney, man.
Like, and it has like it digital, so I'll get on their account and watch it if I'm ever feeling sad one day. Because, dude, that's like Fulton's Edge. But the name Doodlebops just brought a whole wave of nostalgia because I haven't thought about the Doodlebops in so long.
Well, if I get them, I pretty much have performed with all of the actual humans that were on Playhouse Disney.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I did perform with Choo Choo Soul.
Oh, dude, you have so many stories. Come on.
One final time. This is, and technically it wasn't me performing with them. I was on the same bill.
Oh,
this was this kids festival we were playing actually here in Oklahoma City, right in front of the Civic Center. And the thing is that for a while I wanted to perform for kids, but then I ended up realizing that, okay,
kids get really specific, and if they don't like you, they're gonna let you know.
Yeah, but that's a big part of it. And it's also, I'm great with kids, but they're not going to appreciate Hound Dog and Blue Suede Shoes the same way I am.
Or the same way, like, the older generation will. Like,
and
no, like, young kids,
I think you gotta come up with original stuff, too. And that was really hard for me.
Yeah, and then, like, another example would be, like, no one appreciates Guardians of the Galaxy's soundtrack as much as the older generation because kids didn't grow up with it.
Yeah.
Kids, they love the action of Guardians of the Galaxy, but no one's gonna love it as much as the older generation, seeing the references to all this and the songs going along with things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, wait, Choo Choo Soul?
Choo Choo Soul. That was...
Choo Choo Soul.
With Genevieve. Yes.
Yeah.
And they were... I performed the show with them, and then one of the things is behind the stage, they have, like, this little tent, you know, with, like, you know, a little bit of drinks here and there.
Drinks, snacks, whatever, like, the performers need, yeah.
Yeah, and anyways, so here I am, this, you know, little kid, and I see Genevieve Goings there. We knew she was going to be there. So naturally, I go up, I introduce myself to her, and, you know,
please marry me. That's like,
it was just like, you know, mom goes up, Brady, here's Genevieve. Hi.
Yeah, like that's how every kid like reacts to seeing someone on TV.
Well, I remember the first time I went to a Wiggles show, and this was before any performing. I was 4, mm-hmm. and we lived in Wyoming at the time because dad was stationed there, and we hadn't moved back to Oklahoma.
Wyoming, the barren wasteland.
Oh yeah. If they have a road sign, you know, one of those road signs you see on the highway, it's Wyoming, how fast can you drive? And yeah, so anyways, they were playing in Denver, so we drove down there, and like we got a meet and greet, which that's like what they do before the show. Like the 4 Wiggles and like one of the Wiggly friends will go in and meet these kids, and because I have autism, yeah, I got to go.
Me, you, and Carson all have this. All have Asperger's.
And here I am.
That's
this
a
little
disclaimer
kid.
To everybody on the show too. We don't put that as a disclaimer out because we don't want that scaring off people. Because there's autistic kids doing things. There's like, no, we Asperger's for us is we are high functioning, which means like we can act like normal people. Just like you get us in a social place, we clam up.
Yeah.
Either clam up or we become like the biggest social butterflies you've ever seen, but in a way you would not want.
Yeah.
Not that you wouldn't want, but like it's unnatural. It's people don't appreciate it as much as others. Like,
I have problem putting it out and just saying that I am, because I am.
Yeah, well, let's move away from that, because that's not
here
what's
I
important,
am.
But
and at this meet and greet, and I meet Greg Wiggle, and I like am standing there trembling. Now, Greg was the yellow one. He retired in 2006 because of medical issues.
Yeah.
In 2012, he did a reunion tour. And then he re-retired with the red one and the purple one. Then the Next Generation. And that's the one that I performed with last year.
I mean, the new Wiggles even did an adult tour for adults where they serve beer and all this. And like,
yes,
find me in the mosh pit during fruit salad.
The original Wiggles performed for a reunion at the Australian bushfires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the aftermath, they did a reunion show for charity.
Yeah, it's always a great thing to do that.
Because
although YouTubers and stuff were doing that, but like for me, that type of thing where you're trembling while seeing something, I went to Walking with Dinosaurs, the first show of Walking with Dinosaurs to come to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I'm a kid who loves dinosaurs. Like, I got a ton of merch. Like, I have this thing, which I got it from my work at McDonald's, which is, like, it's just a small little T-Rex thing, but it's one of the coolest toys we've had.
You know, it's great,
but it's Rexy, but I got Godzilla over there.
Yeah.
Dragons, but I also have like a ton of Jurassic Park merch.
You can't have too many dinosaurs. It's like kids with Hot Wheels.
But yeah, like I remember going and I'm like sitting there like, oh my God, this is awesome. And then my brother was like that. Like my brother Aiden was like that when they took him to do the same thing, but it was with Monster Jams. Which, does anybody remember Monster Jams? I barely remember Monster Jams. The freaking monster truck
thing. Well, everyone has their own thing.
Yeah, but like Walking with Dinosaurs, I almost cry watching it because like they have a thing to where baby Triceratops is getting chased around by a T-Rex, and now
one of the things, this,
and I'm like, no, don't die.
One of the most magical things for me, because what we would do is, because when I actually later on I actually got to know these people, you know, through a few of those meet and greets and social media.
They continue to recognize you.
Yeah, so I just continued going, you know, all these years later. Like my last, obviously 2019 when I performed with them, but it was 2015 was my last actual Wiggles trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just one of the most magical things for me, because here I am, this older kid. And when the show actually starts, you just have this little kid, because they probably think, oh, we're going to a Wiggles show. I'm just watching these guys. I'm 2D. You know, like I do every time I watch it.
A lot of kids think it's the same way on.
Yeah.
Unless their parents explain to them, like, no, this is in person. This is, you could touch them if you needed.
And then the big red car drives out. It's,
oh my God, it's the Wigs.
No kidding.
Talk about wigging out. I wish I had the soundboard to go. He tried.
But, dude.
Like, the best I could ever hope for is being on like the Cool Ones or the Misfits or something with this, because this is more of a hobby. Yours is like a little bit of a kind of a career, and then my brother is doing YouTube, and his is a career. My dad had his hobby, which is photography, SouthernPlainsPhotography.com. Yeah. Go buy stuff. But that. Which became a career.
Yeah.
For me, mine isn't going to be a career, because podcasts don't make much. They aren't as big as YouTube. They aren't music. They aren't anything. They're conversations that people enjoy. And I know this is one of the best episodes we've had, because I love talking about people's lives and trying to sit, not just trying to relate, but like, it's great. But you having done it with the Wiggles and then doing it on the same block to Choo Choo Soul and then
the Imagination Movers.
Imagination Movers. I haven't thought about that in a while. I can't remember them. But dude, I wish I could get to that level with the stuff I'm doing.
Yeah.
The closest thing I've ever done is Garth Brooks was walking down the mall, one of the malls here with his family.
Man.
And like, literally, I'm the only one who noticed him. And I literally, we walk by, I go, hey. And he's just like, hey. And like my stepmom kind of turns, like whips around and goes, wait, was that Garth Brooks? I go, yeah, don't bother him. Like, I'm like, no, I'm 10, like I'm not 10, but I'm like 11 or 12 at this point. But I know he's probably got like a good bit to go. Like he gets crowded all the time. But like, I'm like, I'll just say hi. That's the closest I've been to any celebrity.
Yeah.
And Garth Brooks is native to Oklahoma. Of course he's here. And so is
I went to the same elementary school, you know, Shedeck Elementary. That was his.
Yeah, I know.
So,
and Lakeview, I think, is where he went to high school, unless he moved or something.
Yeah, I mean, I had so many big highs with that, and I've had a lot of. One of the things is that it really, when I got to high school, it became so hard for me with a lot of medical issues I have.
Yeah.
To travel that extent. I still do it, and that's not the primary reason, but it just, I don't know. I think part of the thing was when I grew up, because as a kid, I was this little ball of energy, you know, waiting to burst at any time.
Yep.
And when I you know, when I grew up, later on. I'm sorry, everybody. It's Blake's dog ended up entering the room, so we got a little distracted.
I had to get her out of the room. Sorry about that. But continue.
When I grew up, I wasn't this big ball of energy.
You had to slow down. You had this medical stuff.
Yes, but it became like to where when I would get up on stage, I was trying to do what worked then. And I lost a lot of shows because of it. You know, here I was, this little ball of energy. And then when I grew up, I wasn't.
Yeah.
And people noticed and they stopped going.
It's like, and I know I keep bringing up examples, but like, it's a good way to, I bring up examples because it's a good way to, for other people to relate if they think about it. But yeah. It's like how there's the old war veterans that will go back into the army thinking they are still that young man, still that they could still be that American hero, and they realize they don't move as fast.
Yeah.
And it gets them injured and stuff, and they're commanding officers, and yeah, they got the medals in the old wars, but they ain't getting any in this war because they're slowed down. They don't have the same bodily functions they used to.
And that's the thing is that right now I'm really in my twilight years. And let's just say
Years at the age of 18. Good job.
Yeah, no kidding. But let's just say for a second that if I try to go forward to an Elvis, it would be so hard to gain what I lost.
To gain traction again and get your fan base back. It's going to be hard to do that.
But I think, I think I've gotten to the point on guitar where I might just go and form a band.
Yeah.
And try to make it big with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. But like, if that doesn't work out, you're going into a musical business or musical management or whatever.
Yeah.
Commercial music.
Yes. And that's kind of a hybrid.
And now like you can always, and if you have like that, you still know the business side of things. So you could go into like a business management thing anywhere or.
Yeah.
You could take over for them.
One of the benefits I have if I try to re-enter with something else is that I've been here before.
And you know what you need to do and what you need to avoid.
I think I did a lot of reflecting the past few years and it really got me to know what got me there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know, A, the music has to be good now that I'm an adult. When I was a kid, I could have the cute factor going for me.
Yeah, everyone's going to be like, oh, it's adorable, kid dancing in Elvis. Oh, now it's like, oh, there's this 18-year-old guy trying to dance as Elvis with bad knees.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, and no, it's...
You could have the funny factor going for you and fully off of, like, messing up funny ways.
I could just be the new Jim Carrey.
You could try, but I don't think you're getting there.
Oh, no. No, I think... My thing to do is I am going to, for the future, it's one of those things that I have to try to, I know that to get into the industry, what got me there in the first place is being this energetic kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just need to be an energetic adult and make the music good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like...
And so
compensate for what you can't do with what you can.
And I think, well, look at, and I'm going to bring up the Rolling Stones. We're going to go with that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a video of Mick Jagger singing in front of a mic standing still?
No.
Yeah, exactly. He is taking the music, which is pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And the performing Stones,
of course it is.
Performing it.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much presentation that I think a lot of people who try to get into this industry fail because they just try to pick up their guitar and sing it. They don't make it exciting for the person to watch.
They don't move. They don't like, it's not like, you don't see bands ever just come out and like, the reason drummers can sit there and barely move their arms and still do the same thing. But no, the reason drummers move their arms so much and bang on it hard and all this, they could have gotten the same sound by hitting it. Like just a little lighter, not with those big exaggerated movements, but it's because it's fun to watch.
I think, and you're learning guitar, and one of the things that you might find is that when you get into like, you know, playing solos and stuff, you know, you could just play a solo, stand there. You know, just,
that's what I'm starting out at because I need to.
Or you can, you know, do eye movements and almost exaggerate it. You know, part of it is like, yeah, you know, tongue flying out of your mouth while you're playing
your kiss.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah. Well, Peter Townsend, The Who.
Yeah.
That dude. Oh my goodness. And that's the thing, is that my advice to anyone getting into the music industry, and whoever's listening to this can quote me on this. It is so easy for a rock and roll band to make it. So I don't know why it hasn't happened, because we got the internet. We got all that stuff working for us. What we can do is you can go online and just post your music.
Yeah.
And then not only that, but then do live gigs, and those live gigs will get you more gigs.
I mean, there are people at our school that are doing that.
People
like Isaac Downs, he's trying it.
If you do like a really killer show, you know, if you perform and you make the music good, a person who is in the audience at this festival you're playing at, who is just there with his friends, will then go, that was good. I kind of want to go watch him again.
Or, hey, I want to try doing that. Continue.
And then where will he look? He'll go on Facebook, find your account, and see, okay, I need to go to this next show
or
and watch them there.
They'll get your music or this, or you'll inspire them to go and create their own stuff.
Yeah.
We don't have this generation of music without the last.
Yes.
But I feel like this generation of music, because of technology, also went off on off the deep end. Cardi B. getting back to like trying to do it with like younger, one thing that I was wanting to bring up, and I don't mean to bring you down again or anything.
No.
The one thing that I fear most is that I'm peaking in high school. That my junior year with Satan Spawn or whatever was the peak of my life. Was a peak of my happiness in my life. That's like, that's where I'll be happiest. That's where my biggest fear is right now, other than dying too soon.
Well,
but
I mean,
with you, your biggest fear is peaking before then. Like peaking in your younger years. Not biggest fear,
yes.
But like, that's another problem. So you gotta like,
you can write your own story. You decide what you do, but you better be prepared for some tough nights and some hard work.
Oh, trust me, I know. Because of the stuff that happened with her and, like, with Carson and all this, I know.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing, is that you have the power to do what you want to do, and you have the power to make people pay attention to you. And so I think, you know, I feel that, obviously, if you were to look at my life now, up to this point, I peaked when I was, you know, a kid doing this Elvis stuff.
Yeah, but you still got years ahead of you, is what I'm saying. Like,
and that's the thing, is that I decide what I do with those years, and if I find a new height.
Like, and I know I just said you have those years, when I was just saying, like, I fear that I'm peaking in high school. Like, hey, I still have all these years left, too.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I started the Idiots Mouth podcast is not just because, hey, I want to start a podcast. People don't listen to teenagers enough. And like, because I think I'm peaking in high school, I want to have at least my voice listened to. I want it to have like, to affect people, for people to listen and enjoy it, to where maybe it can change that. Because if I can change my thought process of I'm peaking in high school when really my life has just begun.
Yeah.
Because that's even affecting my effort into things. Like, I won't put a lot of effort into stuff except for podcasts and like schoolwork and all this and applying for colleges. But it's like, I don't want to try a lot of other things or try getting into another relationship.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest fears right now, is like, I'm not going to be able to get another relationship, because I have the mindset that with that relationship that I was just in, I peaked and that's it. Like, I won't find love again. That's my fear. That's where I think I've peaked.
But you gotta, I think my advice would be, you just gotta go with the mindset of you control your future.
Yeah.
So you can make a new high.
Yeah.
If you're the one with the pen and paper, you can write a new story.
Trust me, I'm a writer. I know that.
Yeah, well, I've had to do, you know, write some with English and stuff like that. Yeah. And I'm going to have to do some college essays.
Yeah, I'm in creative writing, and I'm like, my highest, like, subject in school is writing, is, like, English, for how much I hate English. But I love writing. I love writing. It's like, it's like putting a piece of art into words. Like, if you can write a story about the scream, like, the surprise looking guy by Vincent Van Gogh or whatever, or I'm a Starry Night. You can put that on into words on a page. That is what I love about it. But
It's the same thing here. You're just, your page is your life, and you're the pen, and you're the writer.
Yeah, but so with your stuff, like, you were saying you had to make it interesting if you're going to continue. If you can't, what are you going to do after that? Like, if it doesn't work out for you, like I said, you're still going to have to pitch those management skills. You can go into management. But like,
I think right now I think I'm at kind of a transition part of my career. Right now, I've been learning guitar, and that is for me to potentially, if I can start a band and do that, I might be retiring from Elvis. Because right now, I'm doing only 1 to 2 shows a year. That's how much the fall was.
Yeah.
And so it would really just be so difficult to pick that back up.
Yeah.
So really, I'm in the same boat that anyone else is. I'm having to make a new career. And that's kind of, let's just say, if that fails and I don't get into a band, and I'm not really sure what I would do. But as you said, I have those business management skills, and I also have been in the industry.
Be honest, I still think you should get a minor in something as well.
Yeah.
Like, I would get a minor, but like, the things I'm going into are two majors already. I have to major in accounting, and like, to go into education, you have to major in it.
Well, one of the, and this is not me hating on the education system, but one of the,
we should also all hate on the education system. It's terrible.
And also, it's we'll have to be gone pretty soon.
So yeah, but how's it going?
Let me just finish the point. And with the minors, I think that's kind of just there to reinforce something. You know, it's so hard to find jobs off of a minor.
Yeah, but still, it's still there.
That's true.
But we're gonna end the podcast here, guys. But one more question: is your overall experience in the music business and doing Little Elvis? Just to give the listeners just the final point.
The thing that I take away from it is I love it. I still love doing it, even though I may not always show it, because you know, here I am being this older kid now. I'm not what I was when I was a kid, and I've lost a lot of practice, lost a lot of gigs, but I still enjoy it. And hopefully I'll be able to, you know, in my college years, be able to make a career out of being in the industry. But the thing I love about performing live so much is, you know, just the people. I have the pleasure of providing people with 3 to 4 minutes of joy, and to me, that's why I'm doing it. It may sound kind of cheesy and this and that, but no, I'm not doing it for the money, I'm not doing it for the fame. I love hearing stories about people. That's just what I take away from it, is that you're helping people, you're giving them joy. Because some people don't have a good home life, and by God, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's my big thing.
Well, thank you for being on with us, Brady. It's Brady, Little Elvis. He does have a show coming up in October at, what was it?
Chester's Party Barn in Piedmont, Oklahoma.
You could probably look up the date yourselves.
Yeah.
You just look up Little Elvis, Piedmont Party Barn, Oklahoma, and it'll show up.
I'm on social media, so you can find me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff.
Yeah, but guys, we're gonna end it here. It was great having a talk. It was great to have you on, Brady.
Hey, great being here. Thanks for inviting me.
But we'll see you guys next time on the It's Mouse Podcast.